Hi everyone, I'm Mark.
And I'm Alex.
And this is Final Stop for Final Fantasy Talks. Welcome everyone to our 16th episode. We're glad you're here. As we said in our last episode, we suggest going back to episode 6. That is the Final Fantasy IX series starter episode. We're well into it now, so just to kind of get some backstory so that way you're not lost if you don't really know anything about 9. Anyways, picking up where we left off, we were just switched to Zidane and company. We got Steiner, Dagger, and Marcus were basically locked into a cage by Zorn and Thorn and Alexandra. So it's switched back to Zidane and everyone. And now, what? We need to go to Clara. However, last time we ended with, I kind of talked about, I wasn't sure how far into Bermesia you could go and stuff. I guess essentially you can just go everywhere still, right?
Yeah. Bermesia never really actually gets closed off. You can pretty much go anywhere. I believe the Moogle's always there, all that kind of stuff. So if you do miss something in there, none of it's really missable. Like the cancer, Stelazio is always still going to be there. All the enemies, they don't change.
So, yeah, well, okay, so knowing the Moogle's still there. Now, Stiltskin's gone, obviously, but the Moogle's still there. So if you do need items, maybe you didn't get a chance before leaving Trino, well, here's a chance before going into Clara. So, on the way over there, there is possibly something that you may have missed at this point, which is a nymph. And when you eat it, you get something called Night, which, what does that even do?
It's kind of a weird one. It's a double-edged sword. It targets everybody, so it targets all of your party members and all of the enemies.
Okay.
And inflicts sleep on them. I think it's 100% unless there's some sort of resistance.
Right.
Yeah, so this took me a little while. One thing that you can do with this to make it actually useful is you can just equip all of your party members with Insomniac.
Yeah.
And then it's actually a pretty good ability, but obviously without that, it's not really that good because you're putting everybody to sleep, so.
Yeah, you're just going to be sitting there looking at a screen for a while, nothing happening.
Yeah.
But that's actually pretty good to have, though, especially coming up because, you know, I'm thinking more effectively, like, obviously, you could do every battle like that, kind of, you know, single one enemy out if there's, like, three or four. Another thing is also if you're just trying to eat things, sometimes putting them to sleep, you know, maybe it stops them from healing or whatever, and then you just keep Kina, maybe Vivi, you know, someone kind of small to do little amounts of damage. And then, you know, that's kind of some way, because we all know eating things, trying to do that with some enemies can be really hard because they just either keep healing up or maybe they start doing ridiculous amounts of damage when they get low. So not a bad thing to have.
Yeah, exactly. And one other thing that you can do at this point in the game, you have a little bit of freedom. You can go back to Gizmoluke's Grotto, which is the part before Bermesia, and you can drop off that Koopo Nut that you probably have at this point and get, I think it's an elixir. But yeah, every single time you get a Koopo Nut, you take it back to.
I can't remember the name of those ones.
Those Moogles and Gizmoluke's Grotto. Yeah, we're totally blanking
so
on
many,
that.
So many of them.
Right. But and you can get an item, and then you'll get another Koopo Nut, and so on and so forth.
So well, right, because we're about to go into Clara. Hint, hint. You might be given up another letter, which in that case you would then get another Koopo Nut. So kind of just to keep those nuts coming and flowing, as they say. And then, I mean, essentially, yeah, so you can go that route, go back to Gizmoluke's Grotto. You can at this point, I mean, you've had multiple opportunities, but if you haven't gotten the Healing Shores Chocograph, you can still get that. At that point, yeah, pretty much go into Clara. First thing you see is, you know, it has a nice little movie. It's like, okay, it's a big tree surrounded by a sandstorm. Got it. And then you go into the first area, not the initial one, but like kind of you progress the camera, and there's just a door there. And you look to the right, and there's a switch, and it's like, okay, well, what's the point of this locked door when the lever is literally right there on the outside? So anyone can just let themselves in, no big deal.
It's not hard to find either.
No.
It's like right there.
they need to get ADT home security system or something because they have doors that open with bells and then putting levers on the outside. No wonder they're getting conquered. Like, come on.
Yeah. I guess the idea with this is that nobody would be able to get there to begin with, right? Because the whole way we got in was the sandstorm subsided, or something like that. You know, like right when you go on that little intro scene, Freya says the tempest subsides or something. So I don't know, maybe they didn't think about security other than that, but
I help you enough. You do go inside though, and there's just a lot of these areas are pretty hard to describe. So bear
yeah,
with
we'll
us
do our
here.
best.
It's really hard to tell directions and say where things are. But that first area is pretty easy because there's a tree. It kind of looks like a big old pit. There's a tree in the middle, and there's a couple chests here. One that maybe you don't have yet so far contains an ice staff. That's kind of like actually behind the tree, kind of at the top of the branches. Somewhat hard to see. Now, you were able to buy these in Trino, but if you just have never picked one up, here's a free one for you.
Yeah, and it is actually really hard to see. I've definitely missed that before. They kind of like did it at the upper part of the room behind some of the branches to where you really can't see it at all.
Blends
But
in.
and like you said, it's an ice staff, which isn't a missable item or anything. However, as you progress here, you will miss out on this unless you get it at this point.
Correct. Yeah, so, well, that's, like you said, the ice staff itself isn't. This one is missable. The other treasure in this room is actually really hard to see as well. It's on the very south side of the room. It kind of looks like it's under some roots or something. And these are just magician shoes. There's actually going to be multiple of them around, and they're not particularly that good, at least not in my opinion. I mean, it's
Not
like.
really. I mean, it's just MP plus 10%, right? And clear-headed. I
Yeah,
think of the
something
two
like that.
abilities it has, so not really that great, but hey, it's there.
It's there, and you haven't gotten it yet, so it is a new accessory. This one somehow does not get buried in what's coming up. And so, if you don't get it right
Weird.
now and you progress this area, don't worry, you'll be able to get it. That's kind of it. You go out to the right, and you just got to go up. There's some minor things that we'll get to, but essentially, it's pretty straightforward, very small areas. So, yeah, that's what we got to this point. Let's go ahead and switch to our bold move before we move on to Clara, though. So I will start us out for bold move this time. My bold move goes to a man in Final Fantasy VIII who has severe leg pain all the time. Very, very particular circumstances. His name, of course, is Laguna, and it was a bold move of him. After all we know what's happened and watched him, to actually go up to Julia's room when invited. Because come on, this guy couldn't even walk over to her and say hi or anything, and now he's going on to a very intimate one-on-one interaction in a room. And so yeah, that's quite a bold move of him to go in there.
Yeah, especially after the embarrassing events of him getting the leg cramp while she's playing the piano and then doing that little like hop, or not hop, but the little limp that he does as he walks around and
Yeah.
tries to like shake it off or
Doing his little
something.
circles. Yeah, then just imagine, you got Kyros and Ward who are just like, oh my gosh, how embarrassing that whole time.
I like how Kyros at that point is like, you look kind of pathetic up there. Probably two on the manliness scale or something.
Oh, Laguna.
Good
All right,
one.
man, what you got?
All right, so for this week, taking it to Final Fantasy X2, which is what I'm playing right now, and it was a bold move for Brother not only to ask Yuna to dance, but then to try and look for his wallet to pay her to dance. I don't understand why everybody's so obsessed with Yuna dancing in that game. Honestly, it's not even just Brother, but and he takes it to a whole nother creepy level.
You not dancing? I want to see.
And then she's like, it'll cost you 1 minute, and he starts looking around
Looking
for a
for his
wallet.
wallet. It's like, dude,
Like,
you
dude.
are wearing overalls and nothing else. Let's be real. We know this.
Searching around for it. Weird.
Oh man, brother. Oh goodness. Those were our bold moves for this segment, so let's continue on up the tree and see what we can find. So the first area you get to after the trees, obviously you have to go to the right. You gotta kind of what go up to the path to, well, continuing to the right. There's kind of like vines. Don't worry about the vines yet, right? And there's just kind of a switch. Now, obviously, while you do all this, there are plenty of different enemies in this spot. Now, before we get into that, I will say a lot of them are tough and annoying, but it's actually kind of easy to not get into random battles because the areas are so small. You don't actually have to run very far until you get to the next one. So if you feel you're a little underleveled or something like that, or of course there's some that you're going to want to eat, you might just have to stake in an area and kind of just run in circles. Because, I mean, seriously, I was just running through normally. Wasn't like I was, I mean, of course I was getting the treasures too. Dude, and I think throughout this whole entire area, all the way up to the actual settlement, maybe four battles, tops, if that.
Really?
And so,
it's not too bad.
You know, it's just, it's kind of interesting. But what's some things that we can see here?
Well, I mean, this is kind of where some of these random battles, they start getting pretty tough. You can fight one of the most common and annoying enemies that you fight in here is the Sand Golem.
Right.
I'm sure a lot of players know of that guy. He's just an absolute pain because it's kind of like two enemies. You've got the Sand Golem itself and then like this little red
like
dude.
Smiling. Heart
yeah,
thing.
It's weird, right?
it's
like that little thing in the middle, that little red node. And so you want to attack that, but there's a trick to it because if you attack that while the Sand Golem's still like
alive, pretty much,
he counters with a pretty nasty attack. It does like 200 damage.
Yeah,
he's got Sandstorm. He's got Fire. Just a really annoying enemy.
Yeah, and so what, I can't remember the health values. I know that, especially if you've been getting some of these items along the way and stuff like Mithril Fork, if you were lucky enough and things like that, like, your party can start cranking out quite a bit of damage. I did get Mithril Fork, and I put it on Kina, and now obviously her damage varies quite a bit, but she did hit the golem for 800 one time, you know, and it took him out. Of course, he kind of like falls down into like a sand pile pretty much, and then the core you just got to wail on real quick. Not too much, but like you said, it's both of them together, essentially. There is kind of an order you want to, you know, just to make it easier on yourself. Kill the golem itself and then the heart or core, whatever it is. But we went from pretty easy enemies. You know, of course, the difficulty has been increasing a bit, but things, like you said, are starting to kind of ramp up. So something else that I encountered was the zoo, and I encountered it at a pretty bad time. We'll get to that in a moment. The worst thing about him is the fact that he can eat allies. Plenty of Final Fantasies have this kind of, you know, thing where they're removed from the battle. And so
it's like you're ejected.
There we go. That's what it is.
Because, yeah, that happens in a lot of Final Fantasies. We've got that in many different ones where if a character or if one of your players is ejected from battle, they're gone.
Yeah.
And that's why this move really sucks, because they don't come back. And the problem with Zoo, he's not a hard enemy to beat. It's just when you're trying to eat these guys, you're whittling down their HP. He just starts using White Wind over and over and over again. Starts doing the eating thing. So, but anyways, if you are successful, you do learn a really, really nice ability, White Wind for Kina.
Yes, and another really nice ability in here are from the Carrion Worms, which they are actually pretty easy. They use Drain, but it only hits for like 20 damage or something, you know? So, I mean, it does not do anything, but if you eat them, you get auto life, which I don't know how much MP it takes, and I'm pretty sure it'd be quite a bit, but
it's
still.
Only 14.
Really? Okay. That's actually really surprising.
Yeah. This is actually, because I didn't know that for a while, like when I first, you know, was playing around with this game.
Yeah.
But it's really, really good. And we'll probably talk about this later, some techniques for eating enemies, because these guys, it's kind of the opposite problem. They've got such low HP that it's likely you're just going to kill them in one hit if you attack with Zidane with any of his weapon, for the most part.
Yeah.
So what I like to do with this is put Frey in the back row, and then one of her attacks plus maybe one of Vivi's physical attacks is usually enough.
Yeah, I mean, because you're right. Yeah, and Kina, I mean, you're just rolling the dice. First of all, I kind of like to keep her open anyways, so she can just readily eat.
But yeah, you've got to have her on standby, and then...
Yeah, and you're rolling the dice attacking with her because, you know, she could just kill it flat out instantly. You know, I mean, it's crazy. But auto life, I mean, that's great. Alex wrote that note in there for the worms. I did not know that because, I mean, there's just so much, you know, of the blue magics, and I don't remember any of this stuff. And I saw that, and I did get it, and I'm like, dude, this is awesome, man. I don't think I've ever had auto life in this game, you know?
It's really nice, because it's 100% too. It's 14 MP,
sweet.
So especially coming up on this next battle,
Yeah.
You can just Kina all of a sudden actually becomes really useful. Like you could be casting auto life.
Yeah, she's essentially a
Can
healer
cast
almost,
hammer.
you know? And
Yeah.
so some other kind of noteworthy ones, I guess. It's just Scorpion. I didn't encounter any of these, so I'm assuming they're probably not that difficult though.
They're annoying. Once we get up to the top of the tree, there's these little sand pits you fall into. You have to fight scorpions. They counter a lot. They use fire. They can poison you. All that kind of
Okay.
stuff.
One other one that I think we actually talked about last episode is the dragonfly. The main kind of annoying things for these are that they inflict berserk, which sounds great, but if you're trying to eat them, you know, I mean, that's not great.
They've got super high defense too. You'll notice like your physical attacks do 25% of what they normally do.
Wow. Okay.
So that's the reason why their berserk strategy is it's pretty nasty, because even though they don't you're not really in a great threat of getting a game over,
Right.
but they're pretty annoying with those with the berserk, so.
Makes the battle roll on a little longer than it needs to be. And so.
Exactly.
All right, well, that's kind of the enemies. So basically what you do is, yeah, so you're in that one area, you gotta flip the switch, it fills in the sand pit. So that's what I kind of alluded to with that the ice staff somehow gets buried. The magician shoes doesn't. So whatever. You can very easily see the treasure chest now with the magician shoes when you go back in. And at this point, you're kind of just going along. I can't remember if this next screen from that is the Moogle Manev. But regardless, go forward a little bit. You'll see Manav. Dude, he has set up shop. He has like a little mailbox. He's got like
He's
a
got a
little hovel,
mailbox.
dude. He is like, he's just
Yeah.
chilling, man.
He's got a little house in there.
Yeah. And so you do have Atla's letter, so you can deliver it. He does not give you anything. So I think at this point, you just don't have any letters. Kind of just keep going. We got a couple different things. I mean, it's pretty linear, this map. There's one kind of wider opened area that has multiple paths. It's pretty self-explanatory. You go down a couple of them, you flip a couple switches, that kind of opens up different paths. One thing that at this moment is new is there's a mithril vest that is really hidden. I mean, you kind of have to really go behind some, I guess, kind of like rocks or something, and you get it.
Yeah. I know what you mean though. This section, it's kind of like you're in the heart of the tree
Yeah.
and there's about three or four different paths. The trick with this is it's sort of an illusion in a way. Like most of them just wrap around, they're just circle paths, so they don't actually lead you anywhere. There's one
Yep.
that goes through the back, and
Yes.
that's useful because it leads to a switch in which you can turn off the sand flow and get a treasure on a different screen that's a elixir.
The elixir,
Kind
yep.
of hard to, yeah, it's kind of hard to explain to you guys where all this stuff is, but basically
Yeah.
there's a bunch of treasures there. You'll see the exclamation marks, and if you miss any, again, they're not missable. It can be kind of useful, like Mithril Vest is kind of cool because it teaches auto potion, but other than that, it's not special.
There's a couple that I don't know if they're missable. We'll get to in a little bit that are kind of more of the better ones, I guess. Magician shoes are new, but they're also not that amazing at all. And
Yeah, they're
so
not.
not really too much noteworthy. You definitely get that elixir though. And then there's also kind of these little pits, right? Now, what happens? So essentially, okay, right? You're trying to get through the pits. There's three of them. And then if you do fall in, which it's going to happen. It's just like mash X or, you know, mash whatever controller button you're using. You got to hit it to try to get yourself out. What happens if you don't do that and you just
Well,
get
this is
sucked
that
down?
one I was talking about earlier where you just have to fight a couple of those sand scorpions if you get sucked all the way in.
Gotcha. Okay.
So, not really a big deal, but I know what you mean because most people, I think it'll happen to you a couple of times, especially if you're a new player to this game, because the last sand pit before you can move on, it's really annoying because you can't avoid it
Yes.
and you've just got to orient him. Basically, you got to time it to where when he jumps out, because Zidane, he's spinning around and
Right.
you're tapping X, and then he's as you tap X, he's coming out of the sand pit basically. So he randomly jumps whatever direction he's facing. So it's one of these annoying things that you just have to time your X tapping, I guess, to make him jump off at the right spot.
Yeah. There's two treasures here. One of them's really easy to get to. It's just right there. And I can't quite remember what it is. But then
Nothing
one,
special.
no, well, and then the other one's kind of, it's behind the top sand pit. So you do have to go into it and you do have to jump out, but it's just a high potion as well. So
Yeah.
again, kind of going down the line of kind of lackluster treasure at this point, definitely get it. I mean, high potions, elixirs, that's useful. You want it. And so once you make through the sand pit area at that point, you kind of just have to climb up a little ladder and go on into the settlement. But before we get into the settlement, because there's actually a lot of really cool and good stuff to do in the settlement, we're going to do our sea trivia. So Alex is continuing his streak. I don't know what you're on, man. I think you're on like a 5-6 win streak right now here with pass streak. We'll see if you can keep that up. Rank 12 test coming your way. So the first question I have for you, Alex, is from Final Fantasy IX, and it goes to Zidane. His Stellar Circle 5 Dine hits all enemies.
Oh man, I'm trying to remember. I think that's false.
Alrighty. Let's move on to Final Fantasy VIII. Each phase of the final boss, Ultimisia, right, has a different song track.
That's true.
Alright, Final Fantasy X. The summoner may pass, the guardian may pass, Kamari not pass!
Kamari not pass. That is true.
Alright. Final Fantasy VII. The double cut materia needs 150,000 AP to master entirely. So I'm not just talking just to rank up, like all in all, from start to finish, it needs a total of 150,000.
True.
Moving on to Final Fantasy 13. The mission 63, Adamantortis, is the last one.
False.
Final Fantasy 12. All measures give 35 evade.
It's a tough one. 35 seems like a lot, but I'm gonna say false.
Our last question here from Final Fantasy X-2. It is me, Shuyin.
True. Shuyin.
All right, let's go over these. Zidane's Stellar Circle 5 does not hit all enemies, so you got that correct. You said false.
Nice.
So, nice. Our next question was the Final Fantasy VIII one for the different phases of Ultimisia and the different soundtracks. You got it right. It is true. It's crazy, man, when you think about it. There's like, you know, what, 4 or 5 phases? And each one has a full song track to it. And like, all in all, from start to finish. Now, we do know this is a long battle, but start to finish, man, they created like over 25 minutes of music just for that last boss fight. That's crazy. Yeah.
And they're all awesome.
Oh, dude, they are all so awesome.
Seriously.
Yeah. All right, Final Fantasy X, it's true. Kamari may not pass. Everyone else can, but he may not pass.
Summoner may pass.
Guardian may pass. All right.
Or not pass.
Oh, I love that part. All right, double cut materia. I finally got you, man. Yes. So you said true. 150,000. Well, it's 250,000 AP start to finish. It's a lot. Yeah.
It is.
All right. Mission 63 for Final Fantasy 13 is not the last one. Adamantortis, he is the second to the last one. The last one is, oh, I don't even remember. I was looking at it, but I mean, isn't it like that absolute massive dude?
No, it's an absolute pain because it's the Raktaviha.
Yeah, that's it.
And those are the dudes that I think they're like immune to physical damage, and then they're busting off level 3 spells on you. It's insane. Wow. They're really tough.
Final Fantasy 12. All measures give 35 evade. You said false. It is actually true. Which
is a lot of evade,
dude. It's, well, that's why it's crazy, because you can use shields with this. So if you're using a measure and a shield, like, chances are you are evading at least every other attack. You know, I mean, your evade is going to be over like 70, 80, depending on the shield you use, you know. And so, no, it's crazy, which is, you know, we'll get into 12 again at some point in the future. I personally might have some things coming up with that on YouTube. We'll leave that be. But it's crazy, man. I mean, the measures, it's just, it's a different world. Last one, Final Fantasy X-2. It is me. I am Shuyin, so awesome. You got that right. Had to just toss some fun ones in. So, man, you only missed one, so you are continuing your past streak here. You are ranked 12. Things are going well.
Nice.
I gotta start getting some harder questions, guys. We gotta start making Alex fail. We can't
sure
let this get to
that.
His head, you know? I mean, come on.
I'm sure you can come up with some questions. Just go back to 13 and some of those paradigms.
All right, I just gotta dig back into the strategy guides, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. But all right, man, good job. We got it, and let's see what the Clara settlement has in store for us. So you get into the settlement. The first thing you're greeted, well, what? Freya goes off, she's seen the king, and you're kind of just left with yourself, Vivi, and Kina, who, of course, wants to go find some yummy yummies. And,
yeah,
you know, then this oracle wants to give you a tour. What do you usually do?
I usually, at this point, I don't take the tour because, you know, it's just kind of extra scenes. They show you all the different areas and things like that, but...
Yeah.
After you've seen all that kind of stuff, I just go and all the treasure that there is to find in this place.
Yeah, and there's lots of it. So yeah. I did take the tour again because, I mean, you know, I've only taken it twice in the past, I don't know, 10 years. So I took it. You know, it's kind of interesting. Like you said, she takes you around. You see different kind of scenes that, you know, it's just basically some filler in. You find out how there is water up there. Basically, there's a giant windmill that has a pipe running all the way down to the bottom, and it's just basically pumping water up to the top. So that's kind of all I learned with that. But, you know, yeah, so after that, you're allowed to go freely into the settlement, of course. And Vivi, once again, wants to just go off on his own. And so you're left with just Zidane, you know, going around. And like Alex said, there's lots of treasure. Once again, it's nothing really that amazing, I don't think. But it's items. You know, it's stuff that you get for free.
Exactly. There's a whole bunch of different ATEs to watch. There's some of the different ones that you can see here, man.
Yeah, I can't remember their names, but there are four of them. And you do want to watch all of them. It's not like in Trino where they're missable. You just gotta kind of venture through the different scenes within the settlement and they'll become available. They'll trigger. But some of them are pretty funny. Of course, Kina's on her search for some yummy yummies. And it's just, these are hysterical. Because if you do talk to the other NPCs that are involved in these after the ATE, like, for instance, there's some maidens at the observatory. And, you know, Kina, she's like, you know, where's the Alexandria? I can't remember the dish, but where's the famous Alexandria, blah, blah. Where's the Southgate Bundt cake, you know, and all this. It, of course, they're afraid.
I think it's like, you not have famous dish, Alexandrian Queen's meal or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's great. And then, the famous Southgate Bundt cake and all that kind of stuff.
Gotta have it. And so if you as a Dane go and talk to him after that, you know, they just talk about her. And one of them's like, are you a friend of that strange apron-clad individual? Yeah. Just apron-clad individual.
Seriously. And there's another ATE too, where I think Kina tries to eat the mushrooms.
Yeah, so she's like, I hope they're edible.
Mushrooms. Yeah, and they're not. There's something like that.
It's hysterical, man. She's just so hungry at this point, I guess. And yeah, so there's a couple. There's actually a couple involving Vivi, and they kind of progress a little bit. One of them, well, both of them are involving the Burmesean soldier Dan, which I don't know if you remember them. It's kind of like when you're in Burmesean, you're going up the stairs. He and his family are escaping, essentially. And so he's there and they see Vivi and they just rail into Vivi, like, stay away from us, demon, and all this. And just, you know, they're going crazy. Each individually, including the two kids, call Vivi a not so nice name that...
Yeah.
We'll just leave. It's someone that does not have a father. We'll say that, but...
It's a certain B word.
Yeah, so. Yeah. That's not nice. And so it's kind of like, dude, you're being a jerk right now. And, you know, they do apologize later after that to Zidane, you know, saying they shouldn't have judged Vivi or something like that. But the main event is if you do watch all ATEs, you got to go back to the start of this settlement. The very first screen where that Oracle... was there wanting to give you the tour, right? To the right, and if you already went to the right, that's fine, but go to the right now. There's a big old sand pit, and be sure to pick up the money. It's like on the bottom of the screen by the roots. It's quite a bit. I think it's like 1,000 something, but
yeah, it's a couple
pick it
thousand.
Up. But you will see Kina there, and dude, I never did this, so this was hysterical to me. This whole thing, all of it was just, I loved it. You and Zidane talk to Kina, and she's just like, she's sulking because she couldn't find anything to eat. And then, dude, she's like, even sand, swirling sand put start to look like ice cream.
and she
hops in.
This part is so funny. You're right, because I didn't know about this for a while either. I was following a perfect game guide.
Right.
And this was one of those things. So, yeah, she jumps in because she thinks it looks like ice cream. And then Zidane jumps in after her.
Yeah.
And you go falling down to one of the previously visited areas, but you're kind of up on, like, this route.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of treasure chests there.
Yeah, and just going back real quick, before Zidane jumps in, I think it's hilarious because when Kina does it, and Zidane's like, "You are so annoying sometimes," is what he says. And it's like, it's kind of interesting how at this point, you don't really think about it. You're like, man, we have so much rapport with all of our characters. They've been together forever. I mean, dude, we picked up Kina like 2 days ago. What do you mean she's so annoying sometimes? Like, dude, you haven't known her that long, man. Like, you know, just say she's annoying.
She's annoying all the time.
Yeah, but it's just, it's kind of hysterical because the way they tell a story and the conversations that characters have and stuff, it really truly does make you feel like they've all been together much longer than they really actually have in game time. You know, because, we last episode we went through the timeline kind of with Vivi and all that stuff. And, I mean, yeah, seriously, from the time you pick up Kina, you go through the grotto, you go through Promethea, it maybe has been a day. I mean, you know, we don't really know. There hasn't been, like, any times of, you know, night-day cycles and stuff like that. But they don't actually rest for the night at any point. So this could essentially could have been, like, you know, 12 hours ago in game time. You don't know. It's just strange. But anyways, getting off my soapbox there with the timeline. Come on, Zane. No, but, you know, yes, you follow down. You get it. One of them's another pair of magician shoes. Eh, whatever. What's the other one though, man? This is the good thing.
Silk robe, I believe, right?
Silk robe.
That's pretty nice because again, ability up.
Yeah.
So if you hadn't gotten one at this point, which it's understandable if you haven't, because I think you have to synthesize them.
They were not even available yet. This is the first one.
Right. So yeah, super good treasure if you get that.
It is.
In the scene, it's kind of you get both.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like the story itself and just the little scenes are hysterical. But yeah, Silk Rope, I mean, as you said, ability up, it's great. I think the other one might be Insomniac. I can't really remember. So the abilities, you know, not fantastic, but it's the stats, man. That robe, it boosts like almost everything, pretty much.
Exactly.
Magic, strength, spirit, your defenses, you know, like it is just a very solid item to have.
The only problem with this is, as you were going to get to, is you got to climb all the way back up now.
Yes. And you only have Zidane and Kina. So that is kind of the drawback. You kind of need to be careful. As we said, you know, it's kind of small area, so you can kind of elude most battles by just simply going directly to the next door. But going back to my zoo, I did encounter a zoo with Zidane and Kina, and he ate Zidane. And I was like, oh my God, I'm about to game over right now because it's Kina versus the zoo.
I know, I wonder, I've never experienced that. I wonder if you do actually get a game over if the zoo eats both. I think you do, actually.
I would imagine, yeah.
Yeah.
So just be careful. I mean, you shouldn't really have too much issue, but both of them are powerhouses, so... You know, you can easily kill most things, but just...
Even still, might want to just run. It's like Sand and Golem and stuff like that. I don't think I bother with these two. It's just too annoying with two of them. Like,
exactly.
Get beat up.
Yep. And so, make it back to the settlement. Now, some other things, obviously, like we said, you got the treasures around. Just basically ride the walls in each zone. You'll find them. I think there's like four or five. And now you can just go talk to the store clerks. So you got the Jerk Dan. He is the equipment dude. And so some new kind of just notable things is you can get the Partisan, right? The new spear for Freya. Huh? You can get that for her as well. You can also get Mithril armor and a Mithril helm.
Yep.
And, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of the mithril stuff. Most of them aren't really that much better. You can't buy, like, yeah. So instance, you can't buy the mithril vest. Mithril vest kind of sucks. Like, it
does kind of suck.
The stats aren't very good on it.
It's really all just about the auto potion ability.
Yeah, that's true.
Another thing you can buy from him is the mage's hat too, which is kind of nice. I guess one of the nice things about this one is it teaches Vivi Fyra.
Yes.
So you don't have to have the fire. You can still have, like, say, the lightning staff equipped, and he can be learning Fyra as well.
Which is a good point, because, yeah, I mean, at this point, even if you do have all three, you know, the lightning, flame, and the ice staff, kind of like what you were saying, I think I've had ice staff since the grotto, and I think it just finally got mastered. Now, yeah, so now I can switch to the lightning and have mage's hat and now have all three of the tier 2 magics.
Couple other good things that he sells. He's got, you know, all the wristlet thingies. So he's got a bone wrist, and
I think there's one better than the bone wrist now. Darn it, I'm trying to remember
at this point.
Yeah,
mithril armlet, and then also another item for Frey's got thunder gloves, which are kind of nice.
Right.
And those actually, not for a little while, but those do become missable. A certain point, there another one of those items we talked about, kind of like with Trina, with bandana and mithril sword and chainmail. Thunder gloves is another item that after a certain point in the story becomes unavailable, so
kind of phases out.
Yeah, and they're kind of expensive, so just buy like two or three of those if you can, and then you'll be good.
And I think there are thunder gloves somewhere. I think I can't remember if it's in the settlement or if it's back climbing up the tree, but you do find one. So
it's in the settlement. I think it might be in the inn or something like that.
That's right. Yeah. So check there. But you obviously got to be thinking Steiner too needs some. So, you know, and then missable. So that's pretty much it. Everything else is kind of the same. You got Star Maiden Nina. She is the item shop here. And just something that I was thinking about, man, was, you know, we're probably about middle of disc 2 right now in the game.
Yeah.
And there's still only potions for sale, like just the regular potions.
That's weird.
Like, there's still no high potions. Potions only, you know, heal for 150 in combat. You know, meanwhile, your character should be starting to have, you know, mid-500s. You know, regardless, much more than 150. And so I was just thinking about that, man. I was like, that actually still does kind of make high potions rarish. You know, we only found one in this whole entire area. You can't buy them. So it's kind of like, save them for a really dire situation because, you know, I mean, we can't buy them yet.
Yeah, it's still a little bit in that situation without Dagger. Kind of relying on Kina as your healer, if you have Kina, and if you even have White Wind learned.
Yeah.
So a lot of ifs there, and you know, I don't think it's uncommon for a lot of first-time players to A, not have Kina, or B, not have White Wind at this point.
Yeah.
So yeah, still relying on potions is kind of... It's
potions.
One of the ways that this game can be challenging.
Yeah. Well, and you still have Reese's Wind, but, you know, that's still kind of nothing amazing either in that. But, yeah, it's interesting, because especially with what's coming up pretty soon here, you know, healing, you kind of need it big time. And so we'll leave that. But kind of last little bit we have here, there is Mopley the Moogle, who is in the inn. He's on the upstairs. He does not have any letters to her from other Moogles, but he does have a letter from Ruby to Zidane, where she just basically, I don't know, she's like talking about starting up a theater, and she can't find any actors, and, you know, wishes they were all there or something like that, and, you know, just some small banter. And then, of course, after Mopley is obviously eavesdropping in on the letter, like, how does Mopley the Moogle know, or unless Mopley's reading the letter to us, like... Come on, man. It's our personal mail. That's a federal felony right there. You can't be reading our mail.
Maybe you read it before you had it.
Yeah. It's all like opened up. You know, he steamed the seal open and read it, you know. But regardless, Mopley wants to be an actor is what you find out. And so.
Yep.
But other than that, I think that is where we're going to leave it for this episode, because we got some big stuff coming up here, and the story's... We say it each time, but the story is really starting to progress, so things kind of start to take a little longer to go through, and, you know, we don't want to overwhelm y'all. But we got some cool things planned for the next episode, so make sure you I don't know. I guess we don't really have to subscribe. Follow us on Instagram. We post when we, you know, when we make new episodes. Of course, if you follow us on things such as, you know, Spotify or Anchor, you also get those updates. But we do appreciate everyone listening, supporting us. It's things have been going great for us lately. Absolutely. Again, we appreciate it. I mean, you know, we wouldn't be this into it if we weren't getting the support, you know, for it. So, of course, thank you all. And yeah, definitely stop by our website. Alluded to earlier, Final Stop for FinalFantasyTalks.com. Other than that, I think that's it, man. You got anything to add?
Stop by on social media. Drop a like, drop a comment. We always like comments that we've been getting. Again, if you guys have any ideas for some other segment other than Bold Move that you have an idea for, we're all ears for that kind of stuff. So,
definitely. Yep. We like feedback, that is for sure. I'm Mark.
I'm Alex.
And this is Final Stop for Final Fantasy Talks.